Okay, first part, second part, first, let's do the first two psukim of the parsha. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemor, Hashem speaks to Moshe saying, Dabe el Aaron, speak to Aaron, that means instruct him, v'yomarto elov, and you will say to him, ba'aloscho es haneros, when you make the flames cause, when you cause the flames to go up, el mul p'nei ha-menorah, towards the middle of the menorah, y'iru, Shivas Haneros, the seven flames should light or burn. So, Rashi is bothered by the word Baloscha. When you cause the lights to go up, so Rashi explains, that me, and this is the halacha by Chanukah also, when you light the menorah, when you put the igniter flame next to the wick, you don't just touch it and move it away. You have to keep it on the wick until you actually see the wick catch. Now it's like independent of the candle that you're using or the flame that you're using, and it's going to burn by itself. So the halacha here is that when the Kohen kindles the menorah, he has to keep the flame, whatever he used, to make the menorah burn. He has to keep it there until the wick is actually going by itself. So it's baloscha. So you're making it go up by itself. You have to make sure that it's independent, that it's not going to go out because it's missing fuel. It has the fuel and the flick is caught, then you can move away the flame. So that's how Rashi explains it. My question is, baloscha has a shosh of ayin lamed hay, which means to go up. To kindle, the shorash is Dalad Lamed Kuf. I don't know exactly what the word would be using the dikduk, but why did the Torah use the shorash of Aleph Lamed Hey to teach us that? And it could have taught the same thing, I'm assuming, with the shorash of Dalad Lamed Kuf, which would have been the regular verb for when it comes to flames and burning. Dalak means to kindle. So why is the Torah using the word of Ayin Lamed Hey? So we'll get back to that. I think that's how we'll tie everything together later. Okay, now on to Pesach Sheni. Torah states, that it was the year was 2449, the second year of them leaving Mitzrayim, first of the month, the first of Nisan. So it's pretty much almost a whole year since Yitzias Mitzrayim. So Nisan, we think, oh, it's cleaning time. They thought, oh, Karban Pesach time. So Hashem commands Moshe to instruct Klal Yisrael to start getting their Karban Pesach ready. Now, they don't have to have it tied to their beds for 4 days like they had the Karban Pesach in Mitzrayim to do all different halachos. They just had to make sure they had a little shepsel ready to shecht on Erev Pesach. So you can imagine everyone gets the instructions. So everyone's now busying themselves finding a sheep or a lamb. Moshe's sitting in the base medrash, learning. There's a knock on the door, and people walk in. And the pasuk says, "Vayomru ha'nashim ha'ema elav," and these people said to him, Moshe, "Anachnu tameim l'nefesh adam. We are tamei meis. We're tamei because we're in contact with a corpse. Lama nigara. So why do we have to miss out? Vivilti hit hakriv es karban Hashem, that we're not able to bring a karban Pesach to Hashem. For Modo in its proper time. Pesach b'nei Yisrael, with everyone else. Why are we being left out?" So the next passing is very interesting. Vayomar aleihem Moshe. Moshe said to them. Imdu, stay here, v'eshma'a, and I will hear ma yitzav Hashem lachem, what Hashem will command for you. So, to discuss this second pasuk, I think we have to understand the conversation between Moshe and these people, what it was off the bat. They came in and says, "We're Tommy Mace. Why can't we bring the Karban Pesach?" If it was me, I would say, because that's the law. You can't bring Karban Pesach if you're Tomei. That's a double pasha. That's simple. Everyone knows that. So I would say, You know that. So you answered your question. Your tummy. So that's the law. I'm sorry. They answer back, and it's not true. We're tummy because we were doing a mitzvah. We were commanded to be tummy. Now, the two explanations for that. One is, they were the ones who were carrying the bones of Yosef from Mitzrayim. So therefore, they were doing a mitzvah by carrying Yosef's bones. But the other opinion is, there were two people, Mishael and El-Tzafan, who were commanded by Moshe to take the bodies of Nadav and Avihu out of the Mishkan when they died a year ago. Not a year ago. It would be like just then, Aleph Nisan. Pretty much, it could be the same day. So they said, we're Tomei because you told us to become Tomei. So the question is, using some thumb action, do you look at the bottom line? Is the bottom line is, you're Tomei, no matter what the reason is, you're Tomei, therefore you can't bring the Korban Pesach. Or do you look at the reason? And therefore you could say there's a difference. If you're doing a mitzvah that you were commanded to do, therefore that could override the tumah, the fact that you're tummy, and say, you have an exception because you were doing a mitzvah and you could bring Korban Pesach. Or if you did it voluntarily, well, that was your option. No one told you to go to the funeral, but you did, so now you can forfeit your opportunity to bring Korban Pesach. Now, if that was the conversation back and forth, now I can understand why Moshe was good Shiloh. Do you look at the bottom line or do you look at the reason? So he says, stay here for a second. Let me talk to the Ribbon Shalom. And he'll get back to me. I'll give you an answer. Now that tells us about the relationship of Moshe and Aaron and Moshe and the Ribbon Shalom, that they were on a 24/7 open phone relationship. You know, just imagine, years ago they had the Nextel phones. It's like a walkie-talkie. Mm-hmm. So imagine, like, Moshe can take out his Nextel phone. Beep. Yes. In Savannah, when I used to teach this parsha in this section, the intercom system in Savannah was two-way. You can talk to the principal through the intercom. So you don't have to get phone calls. She just beeped in. Hi, Sarah, yes. Can you do this? Yes. Okay, so I would set it up with the principal. I said, do me a favor, at around 10 minutes after the class starts, please beep in and don't say anything. So you hear the, you know when she's on. You hear the beep. The class is like, what? And there's nothing going on. So they're all curious. I get to this pasuk and I say, do you know what? Moshe could talk to Hashem at any time. And then I say, Hashem? And then the prince said, yes. And I say, we have a question here. Yeah, and I explain the question. She says the answer, what the Torah says. You know, so, I don't know if, you know.
I'll always remember that one.
I hope so. So, like he said, you know, if you saw in the video at the dinner. Oh, he texted Hashem. Yeah, so I talked to Hashem a few times during the year. Okay. So Hashem responds, speak to the people, any man that is Tamei or far away, for you and for all generations, and therefore are unable to bring a Korban Pesach in the proper time, the Chodesh Hasheni on the second month, Iyar, Barbasiyam on the 14th day of Iyar, Bein Arbaim, evening time, you bring a Korban Pesach. That's called Pesach Sheni. We celebrated that last month. Actually, today is Yud Dal Iyar, or Sivan, so it would be Pesach Shlishi today, if there was a Pesach Shlishi. So, there's a makeup date for Korban Pesach. We'll discuss why there's a makeup day for Korban Pesach. So the answer was, you're right, they have a very good reason. And that's not the only reason why you can't bring it. So even if you're late, you couldn't get there in time. There was, you know, donkey traffic on the way to Yerushalayim. And you couldn't get there in time by going through Delaware. So you have a makeup date, Pesach Sheni. I discussed this with someone last night. And so what came first? The mitzvah of Korban Pesach, of Pesach Sheni, or the complaining by the plebeians that it's not fair? So I'm going to word it this way. As the Medrash says, the mitzvah is there, but who's going to get the credit for bringing it out in the Torah? So it's usually done through Moshe. But because these people felt left out of the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, they get the credit for bringing out the mitzvah of Korban Pesach and having it taught in the Torah. Now, why were they so livid that they didn't have a chance to bring in Korban Pesach? That itself, I think, will explain why is this the only mitzvah in the Torah of there's a makeup time if you miss it. Like I say, Michal Shabbos, Chas V'Shalom on Shabbos. There's no mitzvah, so keep Shabbos on Monday, Tuesday. If you miss Sukkot, for whatever it is, there's no makeup time to live in a sukkah. If you don't do it that day, okay, you missed it. If you didn't eat matzah the first night, you missed it. But there's no makeup dates. Oh, you didn't bring Korban Pesach? Oh, makeup date. Okay. Why is that the only mitzvah? I think that will explain why they wanted to be part of it so much. We all know what a battery, a rechargeable, or a regular battery, or let's just stick with the rechargeable battery, what it sounds like when it's at the end. You hear the whole machine going slower, especially if it's a tape recorder or a tape player. Whoa, whoa. So now you got to recharge the battery. So you put it in the recharger, and then when you put them back in, it's like going full speed, because it's really got a boost of energy. So you can tell the difference when the battery is charging, is down on a charge, and when it's fully charged. And you have to do that every so often to make sure it's charged properly. So Klal Yisrael also has or needs a recharging. A recharging of a certain mitzvah. That mitzvah is called Emunah. You know, we talked about Emunah a few weeks ago with Shemitah. But just Emunah, simply put, is believing and trusting in what Hashem does for us is fine and just and good. Whether we understand it or not, sometimes Hashem pushes us on purpose to see how much our Emunah can be stretched forward to bring out the best of us, to make us stronger. But as we know, as things go on and time and life takes its toll on us, we get shrach, we get a little weaker in our Emunah. We start having a few more questions. Why are things going on? Therefore, Hashem built into the system during the year, there's a once a year recharging time for Emunah. That's called the Korban Pesach. If you go through the halachas of Korban Pesach, what they had to do in Mitzrayim, they had to walk through the streets in front of all the Egyptians, tied to their bed, and then roast it, in front of everyone, so the smell is wafting through the whole Mitzrayim of their deity. What does that do to the Jews? It strengthens their Emunah, that I'm not afraid of the Egyptians, because Hashem told us to do this, we're going to do it, and whatever the consequence is, it is. But I trust Hashem is going to help us because He told us to do that. So it was a recharging time for Emunah. Even now, when Pesach time is a recharging time for Emunah. Now, if you were left out of this opportunity of bringing a Korban Pesach, then you're going to have to wait another year, and then your Emunah can get even weaker and weaker and weaker. And these people would say, that's not fair. Why do we have to wait a whole another year? What about our Emunah? We need to strengthen. We need a recharge. It's not fair. We want to recharge just like everyone else does. When Hashem said that, He goes, oh, you're enthusiastic. You're so... What's the word? So enthusiastic. Aroused to do this mitzvah with hislavos, with a flame, with a burning enthusiasm, because you want to strengthen your Emunah, I'll give you a makeup date. Because emunah is so important. Tzadik be'emunah, so yechir. A tzadik, when it comes down to it, it's all about emunah. Everything else aside, that's what Chavakuk teaches us. Tzadik lives with emunah. So all Jews have to live with emunah also. And they need a recharge. So therefore Hashem said, if you miss out, for whatever reason, good or bad, got a good or not so good reason, you have a makeup date a month later to recharge your emunah battery to last you another year. So that explains why there's a makeup date. That explains why they were so adamant about doing this mitzvah. And because of their enthusiasm to do this mitzvah, they got the credit for bringing out the mitzvah in the Torah. So, we see from here the love one is supposed to have for a mitzvah, and to compare this to the non-Jews, the Gemara says in Sukkah, when Mashiach comes, they're going to demand their reward also. And he said, for what? He said, we did good things. You didn't do any mitzvahs. Why? Because you didn't give us a Torah. But if you gave us a mitzvah, we would do it. So Hashem says, deal. I'll give you a mitzvah. If you fulfill it properly, you get reward. If you don't, you're out. So Hashem gave him the mitzvah of Sukkah. But just to test them, the Gemara says he made it like a really hot day. So they're sweltering in the Sukkah. And I'm sure the bees are swarming. And they're just frustrated. Now the halacha says, mitzta'er, if you're experiencing pain, uncomfort or discomfort, because of the weather or other conditions, you're putter from the sukkah. So they went out of the sukkah. Hashem says, see, you failed. So the question is, we also leave the sukkah on sukkahs. If it's too hot, it's too cold, it's too rainy, it's too this. We're mitzvah. Why are they getting punished for the same thing that we do, and it's okay for us, but not okay for them? The answer is because the end of the Gemara says that they kicked the walls of the sukkah. What was their attitude when they were found out they were putter from the mitzvah? They said, Baruch Hashem. They gave it a kick. I don't have to sit in this ridiculous hut. I'm sure all of us, when it rains and we don't have to sit in the sukkah, there's like a little bit of like, oi, never, we can't sit in the sukkah. That's the difference. We say, oi, and they say, Baruch Hashem. That's the difference between a non-Jew and us. And that's what you see by Pesach Sheni. They were putter from the mitzvah. They didn't have to sit down and have a seder. They didn't have to have a Korban Pesach. And they said, oi, it's not fair. Why do they get to do the mitzvah and we can't? That should be our attitude. A mitzvah is something, it's a diamond. Now, if you know someone's giving out a diamond, and you get there too late, you would say, oi, I missed out on a diamond. Gold, whatever it is. A mitzvah is more precious than a diamond or any piece of jewelry that you can imagine. I think you might have heard, if you heard this example. I remember I heard this in Eretz Yisrael. Because when you do a mitzvah, your reward is eternal. It never ends. You have a good steak, it's over. Eventually, it's past. But a mitzvah reward, a reward for a mitzvah, is eternal. Now, to explain what eternity is, if you take, let's say, one of these cups and fill it up with little sesame seeds, and a bird comes once a day and takes one seed, I don't know how many years it would take, but eternity is longer than that. Okay? If you take one of the pushkas there, fill it up with sesame seeds, and a bird comes once a week and takes one away, eternity is longer than that. Now, you could take, if you take the pitcher, fill it with sesame seeds, and a bird comes once a year and takes one away, eternity is longer than that. Now, you want to go really extreme, fill the house with sesame seeds, and a bird comes once a decade and takes one sesame seed away. Can you imagine how many millennium that would take to empty the pitcher? Well, eternity is longer than that. So anytime you're doing a mitzvah, you're buying into eternity, which is really beyond our imagination. But trust me, it's a good thing. the reward that you're getting. So when you miss out on an opportunity to do a mitzvah, or the attitude should be, I blew it. I missed out on it. I remember I had a friend in yeshiva came to me in the middle of the morning and said, I just did the stupidest thing. He goes, why'd you do? I have a chavrusa with a certain rebbe in yeshiva. But after Shacharis, I went home because he lived in the neighborhood. And I saw this pastrami sandwich in the refrigerator. And I just couldn't help myself. So he sat down and had a pastrami sandwich for breakfast. So that's what I gave up. That's what I did instead of learning with the Rebbe. I ate a pastrami sandwich. And he was just lamenting like a ridiculous decision. So once again, that's an example of what the attitude should be. If you miss out on a mitzvah, you meant the attitude was like, oh, because you never know when the opportunity is going to come back again. So we see from here that these people from Pesach Sheni, their attitude was an attitude of growth. I want to grow in my relationship with Hashem. I want to grow in my own relationship. I want to strengthen my midos and my emunah inside of me. It's all about growth. So they are people of growth. Now later on in the parsha, now we'll start to see how things work together. The Jews are told on the 20th day of Iyar to pack up and leave Har Sinai. And they do. And all the halachas of leaving and traveling are said in the next like 20 or 30 psukim. When do you know to leave? When do you know to stop? How do you know to pack, unpack? How do you do it? So Hashem is telling them, leave Har Sinai. And then when that parak is, or when that is almost the end of the parak, you see in the Torah and your Chumashim, there's a backward nun. And that's where you have the Pesuk of Vayhi ben Tzohar Aaron, Vayom Moshe, Kum Hashem v'yifutza Ivecha, Yonusu misanecha mipanecha, Unuchu yom shuva Hashem, Ruvos alfa Yisrael. Then you have another backward nun. Or upside down, it's an upside down nun. Whatever, the nuns are not facing straight. Why is that? So Rashi says, because those two psukim of Vayhi ben Tzohar Aaron, Uvenuchu Yom, are really not supposed to be where they are. They're supposed to be somewhere else. They should be with the psukim of traveling, because Vayhi ben Tzohar Aaron, when the Aaron travels, this is what you do, or this is what happens. So really should have been a few psukim earlier, in a different section. So why is it here? Because the Torah wanted to break up three mistakes that the Torah made that the Jews made consecutively. So it didn't want to make it like look like a chazak of mistakes the Jews are making. So now, what happens after the nun? The Jews complain. What happens after they complain about the journey being too long and arduous to Eretz Yisrael? Then you have the complaining about the mun. Mun again? We want steak. So that's two punishments. That's two mistakes that they made. And those are both after the nuns. So what happened before the nun? Because they were leaving. They were following instructions. They left with God's blessing. Leave. So they left. So what mistake did they make? So the Mefarshim explained, it was the attitude. Ketinok, like a child, haboreach, who runs away, mibeis sefer, from school. Last day of school. School's out. I don't know different schools, but I'm sure you can imagine different schools. You hear the final bell, windows open, and you see the textbooks flying out the door, out the window. Kids are just, that's it, school's over. That's it, summer, freedom. No more torture for 2 months, at least from the teachers. Parents is a different story. Okay, so there was the attitude problem. They're like, oh, Har Sinai is over, we're out of here. And God gave us permission. Because they were afraid, maybe Hashem's going to... God gave us 613 mitzvot. Maybe He's going to give us more. Make our life more difficult. So, that was the first mistake. That they left with a bad attitude. Once again, that comes down to... Well, let me just ask the question and answer it. And I think everything will make a lot of sense. Why Nun? Why did God choose the letter Nun to use to separate these two psukim out? Why don't you use a backward bays or a gimel? Why a nun? So I believe, this is my opinion, you can disagree with me, whatever you want, that a nun, the gematria of nun, the numerical value of nun is 50. 50 represents the highest level of tumah, of impurity. Also means the highest level of being of understanding. When they left Mitzrayim, they're on the 49th level of tumah, one step away from the spiritual abyss of impurity. And through the sphere period, not only did they climb out of the 49 levels of impurity, they also climbed one level of purity. So when they got to Har Sinai, they were on the 49th level of purity, of Bina, understanding, closeness to God. That means they're one step away. You're one step away from reaching the ultimate level of understanding anything. God says, okay, you got to move on. Time to move to Eretz Yisrael. And they said, Katina Kalbarech and Beis Sefer. They're running like it's the last day of school. So what did they do? When they turned around to leave, they turned their back, so to speak, on the 50th level of understanding, because they didn't want another mitzvah. They had too many, they felt. You don't want to be bothered with more mitzvahs, more responsibilities, more obligations. So they, so to speak, turned their back on that opportunity to get more mitzvahs, to reach that highest level of understanding, highest level of closeness to God. And therefore, that's why that was considered a mistake. Because in contrast to the people of Pesach Sheni, instead of wanting to grow, instead of feeling bad that they didn't have an opportunity to do a mitzvah, they turned their back and said, Baruch Hashem, we can get out of here now. They had the attitude of, we don't want to grow anymore. We're happy with what we have. To contrast that to Esav said, Yesh li kol. I have a lot. No, Yesh li ro. I have a lot, but I can have more. That comes to Gashmias. His attitude was towards Gashmias. There are never enough toys. There are never enough cars in the driveway. The people, Yaakov was Yesh li kol. When it came to Gashmias, Yaakov was, I have everything. I don't need anything else. I'm very happy. I'm in Sameach b'chelko. I don't need any more Gashmias. When it comes to Ruchnias, it's the other way. The people of Pesach Sheni say, Yesh li rov. We have a lot of Ruchnias, but I want more. There's room for more. While the people leaving Har Sinai, their attitude is Yesh li kol. We have everything. We don't need any more. So Yesh li kol and Yesh li rov do have a place in our lives. The question is, are you using it for Ruchnias or for Gashmias? So Pesach Sheni teaches us, that the idea of Yesh li kol, Yesh li rov, is for Ruchnias, and the Yesh li kol is for Gashmias. Okay, so that's number two. That's the second idea that we see in the Parsha. And the next one is, when we see that they start complaining for meat, I love when Rabbi Wein would talk about this pasuk. They say, they had a taiva, they had a desire, they sat there and they cried, and they got all Klai Yisrael to cry with them. They said, who's going to feed us steak? We want meat. And then they say this phenomenal pasuk, Zecharno, we remember, Es Hadaga, the fish, Asher Nochal B'Mitzrayim, that we ate in Mitzrayim, the Es HaKishrum, and the cucumbers, Es HaVatichim, and the melons, Es HaKatzir, Es HaBatom, and the garlic and the onions. As Rabbi Wein would say, he sure made good pickles in Mitzrayim. So they're crashing, we missed the pickles of Mitzrayim. You're in the Midbar, you're traveling to Eretz Yisrael, you have a Mishkan that you're surrounding, and you're worrying about pickles? There's something definitely wrong here. Now, when I was teaching this pasuk many years ago in Savannah, Georgia, this question came to me in the middle of the routine. He said, Dagah's fish. And Rashi asked the question. They're complaining about free fish? They didn't get straw. They didn't get the materials that they needed to build what they needed to build. So you think the Egyptians were going to give them tuna fish? Or tilapia, whatever it is? For sure or not. So what are the provisionist history? And he's saying, remember the fish? So Rashi says, because it's, fish is a symbol for mitzvahs. Remember when we were free from mitzvahs? We didn't have any mitzvahs in Mitzrayim? Remember that? The good old days? That's what we want to do. We want to go back to the good old days when we were free of responsibility. So then I asked the question, so why do you use fish as the symbol? Why not cattle, sheep? Why fish? So a sixth grader answered this beautifully. And when I saw the Novominsk a few weeks after that at a wedding, I told him this, and he couldn't believe that a sixth grader thought of this. Dog is fish. But what the word really is dog. Dalad Gimel. If you take the gematria of Dalad Gimel, you get Dalad is 4, Gimel is 3. So the number is 7. Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. So he said, remember when we only chayv in Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach? We only had 7 mitzvahs back in Mitzrayim. Now we came to Har Sinai, we got an additional 606. We want to go back to the good old days of the fish when we only had 7 responsibilities, not 613. So that's the, you know, that's what they said. Now, so I was thinking that's also an example of not wanting to grow. Here we have an opportunity to have 613. We're really happy with 7. We really don't want anything else. So I think that was also in contrast with the Pesach Sheni people who wanted to grow. Here they were trying to get out of responsibility. They're trying to do as least as they possibly could. So I think that is the real theme of the Parsha, to grow or not to grow. That is the question. Now, we have to ask ourselves honestly and truthfully which category we all want to go to or fall into. I think that we're all here tonight shows that you want to grow. Now, the importance of not growing is we're never stable. Either you're growing or you're going down. I think that's, you could say that's the shot in the ladder. The angels are going up or going down. No one's standing still. Either you're going up or you're going down. Because if you're not going up, you're stagnant. We all know what happens to stagnant water. It gets ruined. If we're not growing, if we're not looking for ways to grow, then we're automatically going to start falling. You're going to start getting lazy. And then automatically, this is just part of the plan. So then we find excuses of why we're not doing certain things. And then we start to rationalize what we think to ourselves is honest, right? You know, it's a good excuse why I'm not doing X, Y, and Z. Because of this. But honestly, it's all the Yetzirah. And if we if we're honest with ourselves and recognize the Yetzirah head on and see what he's trying to do to us, then we come up with some sort of strategy to get out of that bad habit and look for ways to grow. Now, whether we grow or not, that's not the question. It's the want. Do you want to? Or do you not want to? Do you want to be stagnant? Do you want to be status quo? Or do you want to be people of growth? I think one of the wonderful attributes of this community is this community, I'm not saying to the exclusion of others, I'm saying, but this community is a community of growth that you see all around. Baal Batim are learning early in the morning, they're learning there late at night, there are women shiurim all the time. It's a community that wants to, that takes their Yiddishkeit very seriously, and they're not complacent. They don't want to live with the status quo of, I'm okay if I do this, why bother doing more? Here we want to do more. And that's, you should all compliment yourselves because it rubs off with everyone. Even to the people that you think don't need the chizik or the inspiration, they see it, they notice it, and they internalize it themselves. I remember a few years ago we went away for Rosh Hashanah, and it was like an Eish Rosh Hashanah. It was done at the Pearl Stone in Owings Mill, and it was run through Eish of Owings Mill at that time. And at Shaul Shuras, the one who was running asked me to speak. And until then, we did absolutely nothing. We just sat there, and as a family, we davened, we enjoyed the meals, But I wasn't doing anything officially rabbinically. So I got up to speak. I introduced myself and I said, I really enjoyed, it was a 3-day, I don't know if it was 3 days. I said, if it was Shal Shur, it had to be 3 days. But I really enjoyed being Mr. Sandberg for 3 days. Because for 3 days I was able to be an observant Jew. I came here and I observed other Jews. And I said, honestly, I need the chizuk also, because I see people who are like on the Baal Shuva track, and a lot of them are getting up and saying things that they started to take upon themselves, and how difficult it was, but they're willing to overcome the challenges and the difficulties. So I got up and said, I know, and we always use the initials of BT, so I'm a FFB, so I'm an FFB who wants to be a BT. And you, and I said, you guys gave the inspiration to try to become one, to improve, to grow, and not to get complacent, and not to do mitzvahs by rote. So this is the Parsha Baloska. Now, to answer the original question of why is the word Baloska used, not the Shorsh of Dalak, because the mitzvah is kindle the flame until the flame can stay by itself and grow by itself, that it can stand on its own. Because a flame is constantly moving. It's always flickering or doing something. You have to make sure that when you light the flame, you get it to the point where it can flicker and move all the time until eventually it goes out. So that's what we have to become. We have to become the flickering flame that's always willing to move and progress in our avodas Hashem, in our avodas of Ben Adam Chaveru, and our avodas between ourselves also. So Mir Hashem will take the Parsha Baloska of the flame of the menorah, and we will continue to grow, not just around all the time, but all year round. Baruch Hashem, one of the wonderful things that we have is Rosh Chodesh. Now, Rosh Chodesh is a once-a-month report card day for us. We can say, okay, what happened the previous month? What can I do to improve myself? So that's Rosh Chodesh. So we really have like 12, we have one big Rosh Hashanah, or one big Yom Kippur, and 12 miniature Yom Kippurs. That's why people say Slichos Erev Yom Erev Rosh Chodesh, because it's a Yom Kippur cotton. So we have the opportunity to every month analyze ourselves and find ways to improve ourselves step by step, nothing extreme. It's always step by step. Mirat Hashem, next year Mirat Hashem, when we get to the Parsha of Pesach, we'll be in Eretz Yisrael bringing Korban Pesach, so we can really get a true an honest recharge of our emunah.